purpose projects.
When you think of sustainability, you might not think about banking or banks at all. I'm pretty sure that our guest today on our episode will try to certainly change that. Welcome to a brand new episode of Purpose Projects. Today, as I just mentioned, we're really excited to talk to Michael Breckpool, who works as head of product at the fintech startup Bunk, which is located in the capital of the Netherlands in Amsterdam. Bunk is an officially licensed online bank that started in 2014 and is now already available in 30 countries all over Europe. While Bunk is constantly innovating their product and adding new features, Bunk always tries to keep an eye out for sustainability, which is why we invited Michael to the show. Michael, thanks for joining us today. We really appreciate your
pleasure, gentlemen. Thank you for the invite.
Yeah, hey, Michael, also from my side, really happy that you could join. Boris just mentioned that you're the head of product for Bunk, an online bank. So a lot of people, I think, have no actual clue what a head of product actually does. So why don't you just give a brief overview, some insights about your day-to-day job?
Sure. I think product or product management is a fascinating discipline. And essentially, what we try to do in the product team at Bunk, and obviously this is replicated in many product teams all over the world, regardless of what product you're building, right? But essentially, what we're trying to do is understand the user need, the user behavior, and match that to the commercial goals of the business so that we can deliver outcomes for both the user, in our case, obviously, that's a banking user, and drive the business towards its overall corporate objectives. So that could mean building new products entirely for the market. So in our world, that could be rethinking, for example, how savings works. It could be understanding how different banking cultures across Europe differ so that we can align our offering to the local market culture. Or of course, it could just be essentially optimizing the experience for the live propositions that we have in market, whether they're for personal banking users or for businesses.
Do you think it's an advantage that you're not actually a banker? So your background isn't in the banking sector. Does that help you?
I think so, yeah. Because I think, you know, Bunk has always thought of itself as a tech company, right? It just happens to have a banking license. I don't have a banking background at all. I haven't actually worked in a regulated industry, so it's kind of interesting to read all of the legal risk and compliance issues. But I think the advantage that I don't think there are many bankers or certainly people that would consider themselves bankers that work at Bunk, is that we can strip everything all the way back, right? So we can start to rethink how we want to solve the underlying issues and user needs. So I'll give you a stupid example, right? So if you asked a traditional banker what a savings product was, they would say it was a product. Our view is that actually it's a type of behavior, right? So it's a thing that people do, a discipline, if you will, that enables them to achieve some ultimate goal. It might be that they want to save to go on holiday. It might be that they want to save for their future. It might be that they save for a deposit for their house. The traditional way of viewing it might be that, you know, you either have an interest-bearing product, but we would consider that an investment. And I think today there are probably other ways of being able to get a better return on your money. And I think this is the kind of underlying philosophy of Bunk, really, which is enabling people to be better with their money and align that with their life goals. And that's ultimately what the Bank of the Free, the concept of that, Ali's initial thought, really comes from. So it's enabling people to prosper effectively. And doing that without the constraint of understanding what traditional banking products are, I think, is an advantage.
This might sound like a rather stupid question to ask you, but think Moritz and I both, we are certainly... We're witnessing when visiting Netherlands in the last couple of years that Netherlands are particularly sustainable, I might call it, when it comes to innovation and so on. Why do you think Bunk chose Amsterdam as a as a birthing place, or why are so many startups and technical innovations, I might say, are coming from this area? Is there an explanation at all?
I think Bunk's story is probably intimately linked with Ali McNam, the founder. You know, he's a very successful software entrepreneur in his own right. Amsterdam's his home city. I think more broadly that, you know, Amsterdam's a very attractive place to want to live, right? It's got a great lifestyle. And for people like me, it's increasingly a tech hub. And it's very easy for someone to turn up who, you know, doesn't speak a word of Dutch, although my partner does, and to integrate very quickly. And it's increasingly a really interesting alternative for people that work in tech who want access to the European continent, to use that as a beachhead to build from. And of course, you can attract quite a lot of talent. And I think, you know, there are obviously a number of other initiatives from a government point of view that enable and facilitate that to make it easy to attract people over. And obviously, once the flywheel starts, you know, you start these pockets and clusters start to spin up, and it runs from there. So you're right, there are a ton of fintechs here. And I suspect that it was off the back of a core nucleus of companies that started that trend. And of course, when you start to attract people that are interested in startups, they're naturally curious. They want to break stuff. You know, they're problem solvers. So, you know, there's always other things to solve, right?
These problems actually, are quite big, especially in the banking sector. Bo said in his introduction, a lot of people don't really think about sustainability when they think about banking. So question, Michael, do banks have a specific role in terms of sustainability and also their role for our society?
I think the short answer is they undeniably do. You know, so the way that we think about it at Bunk, it's that, you know, it's our firm belief that as people save for their future, as they invest, as they spend money in their local grocery, that those decisions are ultimately part of a system that can do good. So, you know, one of the things that actually really attracted me to Bunk in the first instance was this this new feature that they enabled called the freedom of choice, right? So Bunk was the first bank in the world where any user within the app can decide where their deposits were invested, or they could choose to opt out.
Can you maybe give an example of such a deposit?
Yeah, so you know, you open a Bunk account, you might pay your salary into the Bunk account, or you might decide to transfer over some funds so that you could start to use it to day to day to understand, you know, what this thing can do for you, what the experience is like. So if you hold money in the account, there is a feature in the settings that enables a user to decide whether they actually even want interest on their money. So a bunch of people don't, either for religious reasons or because they choose, they don't actually want to be a part of that financial system. If you do, then there are a bunch of settings within the app that state, okay, well, I only want to invest in European companies. I only want to invest in green companies. I only want to invest in companies that match my values.
You just mentioned green companies. I have to ask, how do you evaluate what country is green? What company is green? And what company is not green? Is there specifics on that?
Well, the good news is that we publish all of this in the sustainability report, right? So we make all of this stuff accessible to our users on the website. There is a detailed policy of this, which I don't actually have to hand right now. Let me see if I can find it so I can give you the specifics.
But it's good to hear. So you actually do have like a specific criteria where you evaluate companies, maybe in terms of economic sustainability, ecological, and also social, I'm guessing?
Yeah, absolutely. So there is a publicly available socially responsible investing guideline that Bunk publishes on the site. You know, another one of the values for Bunk is that it's obviously incredibly transparent. And again, you know, those investing guidelines are published on the site. They're governed by the CRO and the CFO. And we maintain a bunch of strict criteria about where that money goes, because, you know, the reality is that we need to make sure that we're doing our due diligence and maintaining the values and the standards of our users.
You have a, I would call it basically a project that goes with the saying, planting trees by paying, if I can call it like sort of abstractly. Could you explain how in particular Bunk does this?
Yeah, it's super simple. So one of the main mantras of Bunk in general is, you know, to make life easy, right? So making life easy in terms of managing your money so that you can achieve your own financial goals, and then making it easy to be able to have an impact. So for personal and business users, we have a subscription called Supergreen. And effectively, the subscription enables this tree planting feature. So for every 100 euros that you spend on any of your Bunk cards, we plant a tree in your name.
And is that like an example of a feature which the head of product does in brainstorming sessions with his team, and then he says, okay, let's do it?
Yeah, so the concept actually predates me being at Bunk. I think we launched on the 28th of November. I remember that because it was my dad's birthday, and it was released actually at the time as a green card. So the idea was that you would basically buy a 99 euro card. That was an annual subscription. You could use it independently of the main Bunk account. But a bunch of our users said, actually, we would just prefer this as a subscription option. And the backstory to this is that the product team at the time, I think this was actually something that was concepted, designed, validated with users, went through a bunch of iterations, and then shipped by November. So it's a very short cycle, which is actually one of the things that really differentiates Bunk as well, I think, just more broadly compared to the rest of the industry. But it's really about understanding, okay, what are the main characteristics and demographics of our user base? What are their values? How can we align with those values? And in very simple, easy to use ways, enable them to actually just behave as they normally would, right? So the beauty of, I think, of the Supergreen subscription is you just spend as you normally would. We don't want you to spend any more because we don't obviously want to accelerate consumerism from that point of view, but just buy your normal shop. We'll plant some trees for you. And it's a very tangible way of being able to represent that to users.
Yeah, we love that idea. It's kind of like Ecosia, but maybe in the banking world. Yeah. You probably know Ecosia, yeah. I also like that it's like not even an option. So yeah, you spend $100, so you plant a tree. You earlier mentioned freedom of choice, and that was, or like the name it says, is a choice. Do you know, or can you give any insights how many people actually choose to spend their money into green companies rather than, yeah, regular interest?
Yeah, so there are a bunch of predefined categories, right? So for freedom of choice, all of the stuff that you wouldn't want to invest in is already removed, right? So there are a bunch of predefined categories. I think I'm right in saying that around 90% of people choose a specific category. And depending on personal or business banking, I think it's about 30 to 40% of our users choose specifically just green companies. And obviously this kind of data informs the kinds of decisions that we want to make in terms of how we position the products, how we develop them, and how we align them with our users. I think it's really interesting, right? Because the other thing that we're now making available within the app is that not just the number of trees that you as a super green user might plant over the course of your time with us, but we make the total amount of everyone's trees available within the app, right? So you can see the total number of, or the aggregate view of the impact that everybody's spend is making. And we also show the total number of deposits where all of the users have selected that within the app as well. So you know, again, we want to make available to people is this transparency. You know, I think your question earlier is, what role does the banking industry have to play? Well, one of them is making a difference, and the other is proving that you're actually doing it. And, you know, we're certainly not there yet. And there's plenty more for us to do. But we do want to show people that we are actually doing this stuff.
You just mentioned your customer analysis, so to say. When you do that analysis, as of today, who would you say are your main customers? And when you have that information or you do that analysis, afterwards, what is your, you would say, main challenge as the head of product to come to solutions when analyzing this data? What are your first steps?
Yeah, so I guess there are universal problems that we consider for users, right? And those are the value-driven ones. Then there are both market-driven issues that we look at. So, you know, we see a bunch of cultural differences across markets. So we talk a lot about checks and France in the office, right? So it's, you know, we want to enable our users to have a digital experience, but sometimes there's this pull back into the old world and, you know, making a call back.
The people in France still use checks?
Yeah. Or? Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Substantially. So, you know, I think the vast majority of checks processed in Europe are still in France. And, you know, that presents an interesting technical challenge for us. We don't have a branch there. It presents an interesting economic challenge for us in terms of the unit economics to support our users. Because, you know, we have to figure out, you know, what's the back office cost of being able to process all of this kind of stuff. And then there is also a values-based one, right? Do we want to enable people to actually still be using paper when there are other alternatives out there? So sometimes it's not just, you know, is this technically feasible? Is this viable from a commercial point of view? Is this desirable to users? It's how do we handle sometimes those kinds of issues when they may be in conflict with the mission that we're trying to push forwards? So there are a number of different things that we obviously evaluate based on, but our view is that the user need wins. It's as simple as that. And frankly, one of the big challenges is, you know, with an organization that has 200 people in it versus, you know, the enormous banks out there that have hundreds of thousands of people, it's okay, what's the right decision to make in terms of our priorities? We have a limited amount of resource versus the rest. What's the most impactful decision we can make?
Yeah, thanks for the insights. I'm always very eager to learn from these processes. Like Boas especially knows, I'm really deep into innovation processes. And I love the fact that you are open to the techie world and to the developers because you actually have an open API.
Yeah, we see a lot of people that are obviously customizing a whole bunch of cool stuff in the app, right? It's a fundamental, I mean, Ali, founder and CEO, is a backend developer by trade, right? So it's a passion project from his perspective. And we see a lot of, really interesting early usage. So for example, we see people that are starting to automate a whole bunch of functions. And that becomes super interesting, right? Because, you know, as we're starting to open up the platform, I can't code, but I, you know, want access to a whole bunch of cool, interesting projects that people are working on. And you can start to imagine where that goes, right? If you have a connected home, you know, that's connected to, a smart meter, you have API connectors that are obviously enable you to control your home systems. Obviously, you have to pay for that kind of stuff. You know, you can do some really interesting, fun stuff that also has a sustainability angle, right? Because you can start to meter and measure your energy output. And there are loads of use cases and loads of really interesting things that we'd love to see from people in the future.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's quite, as Moritz already just mentioned, it's quite fascinating to see how different companies are sort of paving the way towards innovation in many different ways. And I just want to quickly maybe come back to you mentioning cultural differences from market to market. I think you just recently started also in Norway and Iceland, if I'm correct. Could you maybe just out of my personal interest, how does banking in particularly Iceland look like with Bunk?
I don't actually know the answer to that question. The reality is that we're a Dutch bank with a European banking license, right? So what we always try to do is lead with the availability of the service, capture as much user data as possible, capture as much feedback as possible in terms of not just how does the thing function, but small things like are the naming conventions correct? Do you suffer IBAN discrimination in a local market, for example? Are there certain networks of merchants from a card acceptance point of view that we need to consider? So we like to make the service available because we can. And then the network of people will tell us how we should optimize the experience on a local market basis. And, we took that up. It's a long-term approach. But we took that approach a few years back going into France and Germany, and we're really starting to collect some really valuable user data in terms of how we need to optimize the experience, both on a quant and qual basis, right? Because we want to see the behavior, and we want to see what's blocking the experience and what's boosting the experience.
You just mentioned already also feedback that you get from your customers. I and I think Moritz also, we were particularly intrigued to talk to you as the head of product, because recently there had been some, I would call it, controversy or talks surrounding a new update that you did, and other stuff that you might also want to talk about or mention. How do you as a company, and you in particular, in the role that you have at Bunk, deal with criticism in general? And maybe also going back to the question that I posed before, how do you initiate your first steps dealing with this criticism, with this feedback that you receive from many different places?
Yeah, so we have a ton of highly engaged users, right? And the reality is that the culture of the company is to ship early, collect as much feedback as possible, and then update as quickly as possible. So we had what was quite, I think, for some people, a radical redesign of the experience. It's by no means perfect. Certainly consciously shipped in that way, because the DNA of the business is to move as quickly as possible. What do we do with the feedback? Well, certainly from a product point of view, we collected as much of that in a beta as possible. A bunch of that feedback was validated when it went into production. And then the team worked incredibly hard to try and optimize the experience based on that feedback. So the teams have been essentially shipping updates every day for the last 2.5 weeks to the experience itself. So, it's a part of how Bunk operates, right? It's a challenging bank in the classic sense. And the reality is that what we're seeing from the new launch is that we've more than doubled the number of people that want to become a part of Bunk and actually understand what this experience is about. I think the reality is that, this is a small business. We perhaps could have communicated the changes more effectively, but ultimately this is a decision that's being made for 5 years from now, and it needed to happen.
I actually like the way you put it. So this fast iterations. I think negative feedback is especially normal for uprising startups, and that's what Bunk is. You guys are now already in 30 countries, and I think those are just like small. Yeah, maybe it's not even a backlash for me. It's more of an iteration. You guys are so community driven. I think Bunk also got that big of a backlash, or in the online community, just due to that reason. What are your plans for the future to maybe not have these community engagements, or like you said, this is our road?
You know, I don't think we intend to make any huge radical updates over the course of, you know, the next 12 months. If we do, then our current strategy isn't working, right? So V3 is essentially about a bunch of different things. I'll talk you through them. So the first one was that when Bunk first launched, you know, it was very early on in the market. You could open a bank account from your sofa, but to be able to do that, you had to go through this laborious onboarding process. And actually, one of the things that bits of insight for me from a user point of view is that when I joined Bunk, I said to one of my best friends back in the UK, "Oh, download this app and tell me what you think." And he called me back about 15 minutes later, and he was like, "Well, I'm in, but it took so long to get access to this app to understand what the hell it is, that, you know, I've given up now. You know, I'm not that interested in it." And I said to him, "Have a think about what you've just done." And then he sort of took a moment to reflect. He's, "Oh, I've just opened a bank account in my own lounge without ever having to go and speak to anybody." And although that is still really impressive, right? The reality is that it doesn't align with the user's expectations, which is, I want to understand what this thing is about. I don't want to have to go through 25 phases and prove my identity. Lead with the product, lead with the value proposition. So the idea is that actually it's super easy just to download the application, get into it, start to understand what this thing is about, you know, what the values are of it. So there are these three core tabs at the bottom. The first one is where you manage your money, right? So that's where all of the sort of features that Bunk is incredibly well known for. We'll continue to iterate on them. We'll continue to build a richer, easy to use experience that enables you to basically manage your money and prosper. The second is the Us tab, and that is about the stuff we were talking about earlier, which is enabling our users to understand what impact the whole group of people has. The third, which is the one we haven't talked about, which I think is incredibly interesting, which is aligning people's spending patterns with their goals. And I think there's a huge opportunity there to enable users to more smartly manage their money based on their preferences, based on their behavior, and based on their goals.
And you think that's also going to be the way the next years is going to be, that you're going to more focus on that? So
yeah, so there's multiple tiers, right? There is enabling you on a user level to be able to manage your money more effectively to achieve whatever it is that's important to you. That's the feature set. Then there's the personalization. How can we help you to be able to do that more effectively by there being an interaction between the user and Bunk to be able to drive smarter decisions? Then there is the, as you're making those decisions, how do we enable you to have the direct impact on the world that matters to you? And then we want to obviously show how the whole group of people that are taking part in this, how that is making a difference as well. So small steps for the user at the beginning. Let's help you to get more value from your money, help you to achieve your goals. Then let's make it super easy for you to be able to make those decisions and have a positive impact on the world. Then we'll show you how the whole community is having an impact.
Moritz, I think we really did get a perfectly good look at what Bunk is already doing, what they're planning to do, and how sustainable their actions actually are. So, Michael, I think we really appreciate you coming on, having you talk to us without even really knowing who we are and what we do. Moritz, do you have any last thoughts that you want to get out to Bunk?
No, I can just say thank you, Michael, for being part of the podcast. I can just give you the opportunity. Do you have any last words to say?
No, other than, you know, if what we're doing sounds interesting, just download the thing, give it a try, and see what you think.
Perfect. Michael, thank you very, very much. Have a great day. Bye.
Cheers.
Moritz, vierte Folge. Was sagst du? Erster Eindruck, direkt.
Ja, war gar kein Holländer, ist mein erster Eindruck. Also ja. Michael hat man, glaube ich,
wie der Name vermuten lässt.
Ja, also Michael ist Engländer, haben, glaube ich, alle gehört, arbeitet in Amsterdam. Klasse Typ. Ich habe viel wiedererkannt, tatsächlich aus meinem eigenen Job, wo es im Bereich so Features ausrollen. Das war so ein bisschen tech-lastig heute.
Ja.
Was sagst du denn?
Es war sehr tech-lastig. Muss ich zugeben, nicht der Bereich, wo ich mich am allermeisten mit auskenne. Auch jobmäßig natürlich nicht. Was aber kein Problem war, im Gegenteil eher. Ich fand das sehr erfrischend, mal mehr Insights, auch in der Recherche vorher, in der Vorbereitung mal mich tiefer einzulesen in die Materie, was genau die machen und wie die das machen und wie die, was wir auch angesprochen haben, mit Kritik umgehen, mit Feedback und so weiter und so fort.
Was sagst du eigentlich zu seiner Antwort, beziehungsweise haben wir überhaupt den Hörern so richtig erklärt, was die Kritik war von der Community? Ich glaube nicht, oder?
Ich glaube nicht. Das können uns die Hörer ja am besten selber mitteilen, ob die es verstanden haben oder nicht.
Sag's doch einmal, was ist da überhaupt passiert?
Also die Hauptkritik war an Bank, dass die, es gab zwei Kritikpunkte. Der erste Kritikpunkt war, dass ich glaube die Standardvariante, die bei denen aber Premium heißt, so, wenn ich richtig informiert bin, die hat, glaube ich, $1 gekostet pro Monat für die Kontoführung, die man abführen musste. Und Bank hat dann im Laufe der Zeit, ich weiß nicht genau wann, das kann man bestimmt nochmal nachrecherchieren, ohne große Vorankündigung den Preis auf $7.99, glaube ich, angehoben. Das aber vorher nicht wirklich kommuniziert mit den Kunden, so wie ich das verstanden habe. So, das war ein Kritikpunkt. Der zweite Kritikpunkt war ein kürzlich durchgeführtes Update, was ziemlich radikal sich unterschieden hat zu dem, wie die App vorher war. Im Handling.
Ich glaube, da war sogar ein Social-Media-Feed von denen drin.
Genau, die haben, glaube ich, einen Instagram-Feed irgendwie eingebunden, mhm, der gar nicht datenschutzkonform war und Daten abgelesen hat. Jetzt habe ich in der Vorbereitung zu der Folge nochmal nachgelesen, dass die dieses Feedback der User tatsächlich schnell verarbeitet haben und auch umgesetzt und das jetzt wohl nicht mehr so ist. So. Deswegen nochmal auf seine Antwort vielleicht zurückzukommen, fand ich die schon einleuchtend. So, er ist halt Head of Product. Ich glaube, das ist auch ein bisschen das, was er sagen muss in dem Fall. Aber ich finde, der hat sich da bei der Frage ganz gut rausmanövriert.
Ja, was sagst du sonst zum Purpose von denen als so eine Online-Bank, die Nachhaltigkeit zum Thema machen und auch, ja, wie man mit seinem Geld umgeht?
Ich fand die Ansätze ganz gut, die er gebracht hat, auch mit dem Prinzip des Bäumepflanzens. Fand ich einerseits auch sehr interessant, andererseits haben wir beide ja im Vorfeld auch ein bisschen darüber gesprochen, wo so die Grenzen verfließen zwischen offensichtlichem Greenwashing und wirklichen Nachhaltigkeitszielen, die man als Unternehmen verfolgen will. So, in Sachen von Banks und Banking ist das natürlich nochmal eine ganz andere Sache. Ich weiß nicht, wie du das vorher gesehen hast und wie du das jetzt, ob sich deine Meinung irgendwie geändert hat dadurch, was er erzählt hat.
Ich glaube, Michael hat es ja auch ein paar Mal gesagt, so, ja, wir sind ja nur 200 Leute, da denkt man so, wie nur 200, ne? Aber vor allem im Bankenwesen ist das wirklich klein. Die bauen gerade was Großes auf, ne? Und unter dem Aspekt finde ich schon, dass es kein Greenwashing ist, keinesfalls, sondern eher, dass die noch nicht genau da angekommen sind, wo die vielleicht sein wollen, und jetzt aber schon erste Schritte wirklich gemacht haben. Ich bin echt gespannt, wo die Reise dahin geht. Ich fand das echt, ja, echt krass, wie man auch Michael dann zuhören konnte, so, wenn er über so Updates spricht, dass die letzten 2,5 Wochen irgendwie jeden Tag ein Update hatten. Jeder, der mal im Development-Team mal dabei war, der weiß, so, das müssen anstrengende Tage auch bei denen sein. Was aber auch zeigt, wie wichtig denen ihre Community ist. Ist auch klar, sind auch deren Kunden.
Ja.
Ja, aber Bank ist eine internationale Firma vom Nachbarn aus den Niederlanden, die auch garantiert über einen großen Teich gehen wollen. Also ich bin mir sicher, dass wir noch in Zukunft eine Menge von denen hören werden.
Ja, glaube ich auch. Ich glaube auch, dass es sich lohnt, da dran zu bleiben und die Weiterentwicklung da nachzuverfolgen. Es gibt ja mittlerweile nicht nur die eine Banking-Alternative, die nur online ist. Ich weiß, Moritz, dass du
zu spät,
egal. Die Hörer, die uns kennen, ja, ja, die wissen Bescheid. Wer nicht, dann ist auch egal. Du hast ja selber Erfahrungen mit auch anderen Banking-Alternativen gemacht. Wie würdest du denn aus deiner Erfahrung und aus deiner Sicht her bewerten, was die machen und was du bis jetzt so für Erfahrungen gesammelt hast in dem Bereich?
Also ganz generell gesprochen ist es super wichtig, erstmal die Erkenntnis zu haben, dass das Geld auf dem Konto von den Banken benutzt wird. Das ist auch deren gutes Recht. Nur jeder Einzelne hat auch die Wahl zu entscheiden, wofür darf die Bank mein Geld benutzen. Also will ich in der Kohleindustrie sozusagen mitwirken mit meinem Geld? Möchte ich vielleicht in der Waffenlobby auch mitwirken? Und ja, du schüttelst schon den Kopf. Genauso geht's mir halt auch. Deswegen die Erfahrung überhaupt zu machen, dass man so ein bisschen so eigener Herr ist über sein Geld, hört sich bescheuert an. Aber wo sein Geld liegt vor allem, kann ich nur jedem empfehlen, ob das mit Bank ist oder auch anderen. Wir sind ja hier, machen hier keine Werbung.
Es gibt noch viele andere gute Alternativen.
Aber man muss sagen, Bank macht da echt einiges Gutes und das hat man heute auch hoffentlich rausgehört. Wir haben beim Intro, Boris, gar nicht erwähnt, dass die Folge auf Englisch ist. Sofort den Hörer und die Hörerin sofort überrascht. Zack,
direkt, zack, 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 keine Vorankündigung.
Ja, aber hat wieder Spaß gemacht. Ja. Ich freue mich dann auf die nächste Folge. Boris, willst du schon mal einen kleinen Teaser geben?
Wir können auf jeden Fall schon mal einen kleinen Teaser geben. Das war ja heute die vierte Folge, die zweite, die wir auf Englisch gemacht haben. Und das ist jetzt kein Geheimnis, wenn ihr ein bisschen aufgepasst habt, zumindest die letzten drei Folgen mit der heute, dann wird die nächste wieder auf Deutsch sein, erstens. Und zweitens werden wir da mit einem ziemlich wichtigen Player aus der Food-Industrie und Branche reden, der dem einen oder anderen sicher schon mal über den Weg gelaufen ist oder auch über den Teller oder wie auch immer. Mehr möchten wir euch noch nicht verraten, außer dass ihr euch schon sehr, sehr drauf freuen dürft. Das kann man auf jeden Fall sagen.
Genau, wir freuen uns natürlich genauso mit. Bis dahin, folgt uns mal bitte alle auf Instagram, bei, was haben wir noch, Twitter,
ja, Twitter
und bei LinkedIn.
Bei LinkedIn, ihr könnt auf unsere Homepage gehen, da kann man natürlich auch unsere Folgen hören. Die Frage kriegen wir häufiger gestellt. Nein, uns gibt es nicht nur bei Spotify, uns gibt es nicht nur bei Apple Podcast, Google, wo noch? Ich glaube, das reicht.
Jede Oma und jeder Opa kann uns hören, entweder in der App oder im Browser.
Genau, Omas, Opas hört uns auf der App oder wo auch immer. Wir freuen uns sehr, wenn ihr auch...
Sorry, ich werde das mal meiner Oma erzählen. Ja. Dass wir heute jemanden interviewt haben, die ein Konto, die eröffnet, aber alles am Handy. Da wollt ihr ihre Augen schon.
Boah, das wäre
versteht
gut.
Die nicht.
Ja, aber dann kann die sich das ja anhören. Also wenn die gut Englisch versteht. Wenn nicht, dann bin ich sicher, erklärst du es ihr nochmal. Auch wenn sie es vielleicht nicht beim ersten Mal versteht.
Alles klar, Boris. Bis zum nächsten Mal.
Ciao.